بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل ان كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and all mothers and sisters listening to Home of the Receiver, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you has perfect and complete iman until I become more beloved to him than his parents, his children, and the entire mankind. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest being is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to have genuine and sincere love for him. And we have to be loyal in this love for him. Claiming to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not sufficient. A person who loves any person in this world, he will imitate his habits, his ways, his ada. Every action of that person, every movement of that person, every haraka of that person, that whatever that person likes also will become beloved to you. You will try to imitate everything that that person does. The manner in which he speaks, the manner in which he eats, the manner in which he dresses, the manner in which he conducts himself, his interaction with people, his likes, dislikes, whatever it is, you'll want to imitate and inculcate that into your life if you're a true, genuine lover of that person. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the utmost of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where the Sahaba would be present. They would lower their gaze. They wouldn't have the courage to stare at Rasulullah's face even. And they would drop down their heads and sit silently. And they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immensely. They loved him more than anything else in this world. They were prepared to sacrifice their wives, their children, their belongings, their possessions, everything for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could never envisage a life without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thuban radiallahu ta'ala, his name has been mentioned in some riwayat. And other riwayats say a person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are guaranteed Jannah, you will go to paradise. In this world we are with you, we enjoying your company. We are fortunate to be with you. But in the Akhirat, you will get Jannat. We do not know what our condition and fate will be. And even if Allah grants us Jannah, we will be one part of Jannah. You will be in the highest part of Jannah. We won't be able to see you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not answer him until wahi came down, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Which simply means that that person who obeys Allah and he obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah and in paradise, he will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So being with the Anbiya means you'll be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you obeyed Allah and you obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world, then you will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another sahabi is sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The majlis terminates, he goes home and he's restless and he comes back to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knocks on the door, makes salam, seeks permission and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, I just wanted to see your beautiful face once more. I was missing you even this few seconds that ago I was with you, but I'm missing you. They love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dearly and they had sincere and loyal love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala, it is the battle of Badr that is taking place. Battle of Badr. Greatest battle in Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making the safs right. The safs in the battlefield were exactly like how we make safs in salah. Absolutely. They would stand shoulder to shoulder. It was as though it was a wall that was erected. They would stand so straight and close to one another. And Rasulullah SAW had a branch or a twig, and he pushed Sawad bin Ghaziyah in line because he was jutting out of line. And immediately, Sawad bin Ghaziyah radiallahu ta'ala, in the presence of those illustrious Sahaba who were present there, ready for battle of Badr going to take place now. And he says, Aqidni Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, give me the chance of taking revenge. You hurt me. You poked me with this branch, with this twig. Rasulullah says, go ahead, take revenge. He says, no, you have got your kurta on. And Sawad bin Ghaziyah radiallahu ta'ala only had his lower garment. He didn't have an upper garment. So my chest was bare. Rasulullah lifts his garment. Sahaba are watching, what is wrong with Sawad bin Ghaziyah? What is he up to? He wants to hurt Rasulullah. And suddenly he sees Sawad comes running to Rasulullah. And he embraces the body of Rasulullah. He places his body onto the blessed body of Rasulullah. He holds Rasulullah tightly. And then he tells Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, perhaps I may become shaheed in this battle now. And all I wanted is that the last thing before I become shaheed is that my body must touch your blessed body. To gain the barakah and blessings of your body. He didn't want to take revenge, but it was his love that drew him into doing this, because they had genuine ishq of Allah and ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've heard the story of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala so often, so many times. That Rasulullah dispatches him to Yemen, and Rasulullah insists that he must remain mounted on the camel. And Rasulullah himself is walking and gives him parting advices. Beautiful advices. And suddenly he tells him, Ya Mu'adh, Asa an la talqani ba'da aami hadha, wa la'allaka an tamurra bi masjidi wa qabri. Perhaps this is our last meeting. And you will come back and return to Medina, and you will go past my masjid and my qabr. Mu'adh bin Jabal radim could not bear these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فبكى معاذ جشعا لفراق رسول الله صلى الله. He began to cry profusely. He couldn't hold back his tears. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees his beloved Sahabi crying. So he turns his face away. He could not bear his Sahabi crying. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they had genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahabiya who lost her husband, her brother, her son, the male members of her family, her father. And when the men are returning from jihad, and they inform her, somebody says your father became shaheed, somebody says your husband became shaheed, somebody says your son became shaheed, somebody says your brother became shaheed. Each time, although she felt the pain, but more, she was more concerned about the well-being of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But tell me, is how is our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So they assure her that and reassure her that he's fine, he's okay. But she was not satisfied. And she waited until she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was okay and he was fine. That gave her satisfaction, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalu. Every musibat and calamity that befell me, afflicted me, I lost my husband, my son, my brother, my father. All that masaib, all those calamities have become jalal, mean have become insignificant, so light upon me after seeing you that you are okay. Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbi radiallahu ta'ala is climbing on the tree when the news of Rasulullah's demise reaches him. Couldn't take it. Immediately he makes a dua, a supplication to Allah. Ya Allah, the best person I was seeing in this world, that my eyes would set up, would gaze upon, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that he's gone, Ya Allah, take away my sight. And he becomes blind. a Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Various narrations have been mentioned. In one narration he says that Rajulun ahabba qawman walamma yalhaq bihim. Tell me, a man loves a nation and he never met them. In other words, these people who he loves, they had come into this world before him and they passed on, and he came much later and he heard about them, he read about them, he loves them. Will he be with them in the hereafter? Rasulullah said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. That a person will be on the day of Qiyamah with whom he loved in this world, even though he didn't meet them. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, after embracing Islam and Iman, there was no other occasion like this occasion when they heard these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of Qiyamah a person will be with whom he loved. So after accepting Islam, there was no happier occasion and joyous occasion that brought so much of ecstasy and delight to us when we heard these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we loved him dearly. And because that muhabbat we have for him, it gave us some type of consolation that on the day of Qiyamah we will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the deep recesses of their hearts. They loved him more than anything in this world. And therefore, whatever instruction he gave to them, they followed that instruction, they abided by that command without a single moment of hesitation, no taraddud whatsoever. They didn't look for another fatwa. They didn't seek another interpretation. Perhaps it could mean this, it could mean that. A sahabi is wearing a pure gold ring. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees it, fanaza'ahu, pulls it out of his finger, فَطَرَحَهُ, and he threw it down onto the ground. Because it is not permissible for men to wear pure gold rings. Rasulullah says, أَيَعْمِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ جَمْرَةٍ مِّن نَارٍ وَيَضَعُهُ عَلَىٰ يَدِهِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that what you are going, moving towards and intending and taking a piece of coal, brand of fire, and placing it onto your finger. Rasulullah had threw it down to show his disapproval of this. And he went by. People then began to tell the sahabi that, intafi' bihi, that use it for some other purpose. You don't have to wear it as a ring. Perhaps you can sell it, you get some money. He says, impossible, wallah. I can never pick up this gold ring after Rasulullah SAW threw it down. Complete ittiba. When Rasulullah SAW mentioned about a sahabi that he's such a wonderful person, how excellent he is, besides two qualities he has, that his hair was too long, more than the miqdar of a zulfa, it was going below his shoulders, and his pants was dragging below his ankles. The moment he hears that Rasulullah had mentioned this about him, he takes his scissors or a knife and he cuts off his hair, he shortens his hair, and immediately he cuts his trousers right till half his shin. They didn't go back to Rasulullah to ask for some other fatwa, concession, no. Why? Because they knew that this was the most perfect way of life. When they brought Iman in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew that success was in following this type of life. We believe in Allah, we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We claim we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then we find ourselves still aping the West. How is it that how many of us, our dressing, our fashion, our hairstyles are in complete opposition to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. completely different. And we will seek verdicts and fatwas from different types of people just to appease our nafs. So respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the most perfect way of life. His akhlaq was most exalted. Praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. He was a source of mercy. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you love Allah, if you say you love Allah, then follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah will love you. Then Allah will forgive you your sins. So ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after bringing iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is imperative that we make ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that the mission that Rasulullah came with, and the concern he had always in Shama'il of Tirmidhi, it is mentioned, kana mutawasir al-ahzan da'im al-fikrah. That Rasulullah SAW was perpetually in a state of grief. It didn't mean that he didn't have time for his wives, and he didn't smile, and he didn't play with his children and grandchildren. Alhamdulillah, we've heard many seerah bayans, and all this has been explained to us. But there was some other type of grief, not the grief of dunya. He was concerned that he must never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must never displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was always alert and cautious that everything that I do, I must please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mustn't be such that I bring into myself such type of excitement and joy and happiness that makes me a proud person and makes me forget and become oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama have also explained that his concern and worry all the time was that every single ummati of mine may gain entry into paradise. And nobody must go to Jahannam. Obviously he knew that some people go to Jahannam. But it was his burning worry and concern that Quran talks about it. And Quran says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. That perhaps, O Muhammad SAW, you are killing yourself. You're destroying yourself. In pursuit of these people bringing iman. And therefore, every opportunity he had to make dua for his ummah, he will make. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, incident is so famous that once Rasulullah made dua for her, Allah forgives Aisha her past sins, her present sins, her future sins, since she committed it openly and privately. Allah forgive her completely. She became so overjoyed. Rasulullah saw this joy and happiness of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he says that, oh Aisha, you're so happy. She says, why not? What a beautiful dua you made for me. He says, I make this dua for my ummah every single day. And we forget these things so easily, so easily. May Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq of realizing that time is against us. Believe me, we are moving rapidly towards Qiyamah now. Very quick. Allah knows best. Only Allah knows when exactly Qiyamah will take place. But throughout the world, the different things that are taking place, the different disasters, one after the other, any country of the world you see, where is the peace? Where is the serenity? Where is the sukoon? Look at the prices of things, inflation, the strength of the currencies in the world. So many things are developing, and so rapidly and so quickly. The time is drawing closer and closer and closer for the appearance and emergence of Dajjal. And still we haven't emulated the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his zahir sunnah, his batin sunnah, inward, outward, to the best of our ability. We all are weak, nobody is perfect, but genuine attempts. Look at our gatherings, when we meet in functions. Let's be honest. How much of deen, genuine deen, are we just discussing, arguing and fighting over some deeny issue? Or we're talking about dunya. Let us be honest, go to the Qabristan and we're burying our deceased friend or relative. And what can we hear? Conversations of dunya. Our meetings, what type of meetings do we have? It's full of noise, merriment, laughter. The majlis of Rasulullah would be a majlis of ilm, a majlis of hilm, majlis of sabr, majlis of amana. There was serenity, there was peace. You wouldn't hear laughter, roaring laughter, ghaflat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a serious gathering, a dignified gathering, a gathering in which every participant was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned as though birds could perch themselves over the sahaba when they sat in the gathering of Rasulullah so still. Rasulullah kana yu'allifuhum wa la yunaffiruhum. He would draw them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would show the person the way towards Jannah in a very beautiful, kind manner. He never chased any person away from deen. He didn't frighten him and scare him and make him lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, any person who did good, كَانَ يُحَسِّنُ الْحَسَنُ وَيُقَوِّيهِ. He saw any good, he would support it. وَيُقَبِّحُ الْقَبِيحُ وَيُوَهِّيهِ. And if he saw any evil, immediately he will deem it evil and he will not lend support to it. He will explain to the person that this is not correct. But he'll do it in such a beautiful way. Three things Rasulullah was very careful and concerned with regarding himself. He never got involved in arguments. Tarakal mira, mira. Arguing, fighting, quarreling, disputing. He abstained from this totally. He never liked, some narrations say ikbar and some say ikthar. Ikbar means he didn't want to be regarded to be great. Allah made him great. Kana fakhman mufakhaman. Allah made him great. Allah chose him to be the greatest of all the Anbiya al-Musallatu Salaam. But he chose to have abdiyat in him. He always regarded himself to be a slave, a bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given a choice. You can be malik, nabiyun malikun, or nabiyun abdun. You can be a nabi who is a king, or you can be a nabi who is a slave, a servant. He said, I'll be a nabi who is a slave. So he did not dispute. He didn't like to have a lofty position and people must just praise him. And he didn't want, ikthar means abundant possession of this world. He had zuhd in him. He threw away the embellishments of this world. He discarded it. And he never got involved in futile activities. لا يعني. With regards to people, he was very careful. He will not criticize people. لا يذم أحدا. He will not belittle them. If something was fine, perfect, nothing wrong in it, he wouldn't make it and find some عيب and fault in it. Look at ourselves. Something is so nice, everything is fine with it, there's no problem. But still we'll find some fault to hurt the next person. Somebody buys a nice car, and still we say, but it doesn't suit you. Why did you pick this color? Shouldn't you have bought another model? We don't want to see the good of the next person in our life. So Rasulullah did not do this. He didn't find aibs in things unnecessarily. And he did not go in pursuit and spy and search for the faults of others. He saw some munkar. He made izala, he removed the munkar immediately. But he wouldn't spy and go and look and find and scratch the person's, his private life and go find something to dig something and to make it viral and to belittle him. No, he didn't do this. My beloved brothers and elders, or mothers and sisters in Islam, read the seerah of Rasulullah SAW, read the biographies, not only on one or two occasions in our life. Yes, this month of Rabiul Awwal, generally we find there's so much more bayans and seerah that take place. But the object is that we must bring this in our life to the best of our ability. No use just reading about it. Read, pass it on to others, teach our children, and bring one sunnah into our lives. Rasulullah said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba." Every ummati of mine will enter Jannah, except that person who refuses to enter Jannah. Qila man ya'ba ya Rasulullah? Sahaba asked, "Ya Rasulullah, who be that person who refuses to enter Jannah?" Rasulullah says, "Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba." That person who obeys me, he follows me, he makes my ita'at, he enters Jannah. The person who disobeys me, he does not want to follow me, then he has refused to enter into Jannah. My beloved brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters, and our youth, let us try our utmost. We can see what is happening in the West. The blasphemous statements they make against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They ridicule him, they mock him. They have no idea who and how great he was and how perfect his life was. But because they are seeing these weaknesses in our lives, and we have not showcased Rasulullah's life properly to them and displayed it in our lives and taught it to the rest of mankind, they will find these opportunities, or they will look for opportunities to belittle our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq to understand the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Increase durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, we read this, the salawat upon Rasulullah sallam. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. It must be a daily habit. I've read so many occasions of ulama and mashayikh of the past and present, and all of them for various things in this world and various problems a person has. They would say, resort to reciting Durood Sharif. Hold on to Durood Sharif. Recite it excessively, especially on Fridays. Especially on Fridays. Read it in abundance. And inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, we will find ourselves in close proximity to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Is that Durood Sharif? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nuhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك المصطفى خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين يا الله forgive us completely my Allah يا الله gunai that we have committed يا الله صغائر كبائر كبيرة gunas small sins big sins يا الله whatever gunas we committed my Allah forgive us completely my Allah اللہ ہماری دلوں کو مصفہ مجلہ مزکہ بنا اللہم آتی نفوسنا تقواہا وزکیہا انت خیر من زکاہا انت خیر من زکاہا انت ولیہا ومولاہا ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنا وفی الآخرت حسنا وقنا عذاب النار یا اللہ فلفل اول وحاجات النیز میں اللہ يا قاضي الحاجات يا دافيع البليات يا حل المشكلات اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك يا الله give us your عشق المحبة the عشق المحبة of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم make us follow his way of life my Allah his sunnah my Allah Ya Allah, protect us from imitating the West, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't bring their type of life into our zindagi, my Allah. Give us a pakiza zindagi, my Allah. Full of your pleasure, my Allah, your raza mandi, my Allah. Allah grant all of us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, my Allah. Protect us from the shar of the shireen, from the fitnah of the fitteen, hasr of the hasideen, from the zulam of the zalimeen. Ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib rozi, Ya Allah. Give us plentiful, Ya Allah. Make us use it correctly, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, Ya Allah, there are so many, my Allah. Ya Allah, some in hospitals, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the doctors have lost all hope, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know best, my Allah. Grant them shifa'i kamil, ajil, mustaqir, da'im, Ya Allah. All the marhumin, Ya Allah, grant them jannatul firdaus, my Allah. Grant the family sabri jameel, my Allah. Allah give us motu iman, motu Madina Sharif, baril jannatul baqi. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah SAW, the day of qiyamah, my Allah. The Holy Kothar water from his Mubarak hands. Don't make it happen that when you go to the Holy Kothar, he turns his face away from us. Ya Allah, he chases us away, my Allah. Ey Malik Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we did not see our beloved Rasulullah SAW in this world. Ya Allah, the day of qiyamah, and in the akhirah, don't deprive us, my Allah. Make us enter Jannah without Hisab Kitab. Ya Allah, make us enter Jannah in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of Jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, make our children, our grandchildren, the coolness of our eyes. Make them excellent huffaz, ulama, sulaha, atqi, abrab, muqarrabin, maqbuleen, Ya Allah. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما الحاضرين غائبين سبي دعاء قبول فرما all those requested duas ya Allah answer the jais murad also ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين